New series then, Whole of Life Worship. Alternative title for today specifically, Where is Our Wonder? And how do we get some more? Where is our wonder and how do we get some more? I've got here something I prepared earlier. It sticks, believe it or not. Lots of sticks.
Where can I put those so you can see?
My visual aid's not very visual. Here we are. I'll put it on here. Linda, ignore it. Don't worry. Keep ignoring it, Linda. There we go. That's my visual aid. Now, you are wondering what that's there for. I hope you're wondering. The wonder that I'm on about, though, is wonder in the sense of wow. The sense of core. There's a core with that as well, but we'll come back to that. Worship is the key expression of our love of God. His worthiness to us, our love language to God, as can be expressed in so many ways, and some of those are on the screen there. The variety is wider than flowers in a summer garden. Worship is our love gift offered back to God, which encompasses all of our lives, from the workplace to the worship service, because He loved us first. For many Jesus followers, like myself, you've been part of church all your life. I've been going from year dot. And I became a Christian at quite a young age. And that's a great privilege and a wonderful blessing. I wouldn't have had it any other way. But it's also a danger. And it's a danger for ministers in particular. In a couple of hours' time, I'm doing another service somewhere else. And it all becomes very familiar. Or can do. We get used to the blessings, we're used to the mercy, we're used to the forgiveness, we're used to the love, we're used to the blessings. Our worship loses its edge. We become, I put in my notes, rusty. We become predictable and tame and safe. We sit back and spectate rather than connect and engage. Why we're sitting around the tables at the moment is because it's post-COVID. We need to engage again. Build up relationships again. Be connected again. And we connect back with God. Possibly, the pandemic has had the value of shaking the dust off our worship. We've recognized afresh the blessing of gathering together. Possibly, the pandemic has awakened us afresh, like a crisp new day morning, that actually, it's not about Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. Worship's much bigger and vaster than that. It's about what you do at home, what you do at work, what you do at school, what you do in the retirement village that you live in. Whatever your context can be worship. And we've had to learn that through the pandemic. This morning, we're going to focus on three key elements: worship as enabled by the Holy Spirit, worship as being wonderful, worship as mystery. The Holy Spirit of God, who is here today, underpins, is the foundation for worship, true worship. We saw last week that Jesus is the light of the world. And God, the Holy Spirit, opens our eyes. So if we look at the world in the light of Jesus, we, with the eyes of the Spirit, we're able to see all around us something that is wonderful, something that is wowful. Our God is the God of wonder, which in turn should make us people of wonder. We are made for wonder. In Jeff's prayer, the word was used. Wonder. Let's take a couple of examples. Psalm 139, King David reflects on the character and nature of who God is, and his own character and nature as a reflection of who God is. And when he does that, he says these amazing words, verse 6, it's too much. It's just too wonderful. My mind's blown. I added that bit in. I can't take it all in. It's incredible. For David, wonder was the natural response to the kingdom of God. He's always looking expectantly, David was, for a hint of heaven in his life. I wonder where the hints of heaven are in your life. You have to be a bit like a detective. I was thinking of those CSI movies that you get loads of these days, where the detective dusts off the fingerprints. And we have to dust for fingerprints of the presence of God, even in the difficult situations, like the president, lots of difficult situations. Where's God in that? What about our mundane, ordinary lives? The washing and wiping up. Got a book here for you, and this is a free copy you can have. And it's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's by Brother Lawrence. I've got my own copy. It's by my bedside. He's a monk of 400 years ago. The book he wrote, small book, still in print. And he used to do washing up for the monks. That was his job. But he found in that boring job, which he did feel was boring, he found God's presence. And John Wesley says in the preface, John Wesley found that one of his most special books because it helped him to engage in the ordinariness of life, that God was still there. Worth a read. It's a short read. Psalm 119, verse 8. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonderful things of your law, your word. Open my eyes to the wonderfulness. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Prophecy of the coming Jesus. You will know these words. Some of you will anyway. For unto us, says the prophet, predicting the coming of Jesus, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called what? He'll be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Not nice, not ordinary, not a good thing. Wonderful. Wowful. The Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. Is turning up. Get ready. Wonder was coming. Wonder has come. Wonder is coming again. That's what we'll be remembering at Holy Communion this morning. Wonder enables worship of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When my young son Jack goes out for a walk, he is full of wonder about everything around him. He sees a squirrel. Look at that squirrel! When Andrew sees a squirrel, whatever. This is some of the collection of Jack's sticks. For some reason, which is way beyond me, these are all very special sticks that I had to get permission for to bring along today. They stay in a particular place, and every time he goes out, he gets more of them. He sees wonder in a stick. That's way beyond my ability level of wonderness. But a little kid sees wonder in that. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples one day, and they asked him, well, what does it mean to follow you? He said, see that child over there? Bring him in. Or bring her in. The child comes in and he says, see this little kid? That's what you need to be like if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not out of a sense of maturity that we have to be like little kids, but it's in that sense of wonder of what God gets up to in your everyday life that you take for granted. It's wonderful. In a sense, we need to be the Benjamin Buttons of Christianity. Benjamin Button is a short book, F. Scott Fitzgerald's book. It's about 100 years old now. They made it into a film about 10 years ago. Benjamin Button. He was a really old fella. But he found that he started getting younger and younger and younger. And when we come to faith, no matter what age it is, whether it's 90 or 19, we get younger because we start to think of God and all that he's doing through the eyes of faith. We see things in a new light. I was cutting the salad up yesterday, and I wanted to do it colourful and happy. So I had peppers there and tomatoes and all sorts of colourful things. And suddenly I thought to myself, wow, that is wonderful. Look at those colours. It could be in black and white. But it's not. Praise God. It could get quite noisy in our house. Through God's Holy Spirit, you see, we start to get changed from the inside out and we start to perceive in new ways. Romans 8, verse 15, it says this in the Message. Listen to this. This resurrection life, which we'll be celebrating today, that you've received from God is not a timid, grave-fearing life. It's an adventurous expectancy, greeting God with childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. This is a wonderful mystery. This is the wow of Jesus. This is the wow we celebrate each time we gather that can be lived out through the week. Now, you might well say to me, Andrew, I can see something of how wonder emerges, energizes our worship. I can get a little bit of that. I can see the vital role of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that and see with the eyes of faith. And I can see the value of practicing the presence of God in my daily lives, whether it be at work or somewhere else. But it's so much easier to do that in the good times than the bad. What about when we get distressing news, or we see dark clouds on the horizon, or evil is overwhelming? And of course, at the moment, we've got that classic situation in that regard in the Ukraine, even this day. What do you do then? It's a good question. I like that. And I've been pondering that. On Wednesday, I went into Chippenham. I was brave. I went in. And there's a bridge, isn't there, that goes over the river. And I was there, and suddenly flew up about 50 pigeons, something like that. And they flew up, flappy, 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 up into the air, flying around. Then they came down, and then they went back to their feeding station. They were there for about a minute. Somebody else spooked them. Up they went again. But then they came back again. And it happened a third time. They got spooked. Up they go. Back to the feeding station. And I thought, that's very interesting. When you're a follower of Jesus, you still can get buffeted by the storms of life. It's reality. And we can be spooked. I was spooked this week, actually. I think it was Friday, when I saw on the TV that there'd been these explosions by the nuclear plant. That can really worry me. I used to be in the Air Force 25 plus years ago, and one of the roles I had in that, it was a medic, was for any nuclear problems that were happening in the UK, so maybe a train crash, something like that, when they're moving nuclear stuff, and then the RAF are responsible for the nuclear fallout. So I'd be in we used to train and be in this white outfit, and Geiger counters. You know the things you see on TV, and then it goes click, 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 click. That used to be my world. So I see this, and I think, that is crazy dangerous. Unbelievable. And I went, and it took me most of the day to land back for my meal. from my flute, from my presence of God perspective. I got spooked. This is a time where it's easy to get fly off. And that's natural, as long as we come back. What isn't natural is to keep flying off. Keep going. But even when we do, if we do to get in that situation, Jesus goes looking for us, doesn't he? There's plenty of parables about that. Now, I'm going to read to you something. It's from the prophet Habakkuk. In my pondering today, I was thinking, what's a good example? And one of the best, I think, is the prophet Habakkuk. It's only a small book, 3 chapters, but I'm really fascinated by this guy. Habakkuk was prophesying to the people, his people, God's people, if you carry on this way, the Babylonians are going to invade. And he tries to convince them to get sorted out, and they don't. And then the day comes of the invasion. So this is Habakkuk chapter 3. I want to read a bit of it for you. He says, verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. He can hear the armies coming. Decay crept into my bones and my legs, they trembled. Now there he is, he's off. But then he starts to bring it in. I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come upon the nation invading us. He knows that God will sort this out in the end. Then he says this, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. So this is complete devastation. And then he says, verse 18, yet, despite everything, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to worship. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Somebody said, one of these examples, wasn't it, of worship was not how you feel, it's what you know. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And then there's a postscript. It said, and he wrote, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. So it's a hymn, stringed instrument hymn, guitar music, or whatever the equivalent was. Despite everything, he's keeping hold of the truth and his beliefs in the justice and the goodness and the blessings of God. That's his worship. He wonders and he worships because he has the eyes of faith. And maybe in dark times is when we shine more brightly. When we actually experience afresh the significance of God's amazing love pouring into us and flowing out of us into a broken world. We listened this morning to Tammy sharing about the money going to Ukraine. We've also heard that the MP, our local MP, they've got so much stuff coming in. Please stop, we can't cope with it all. That's a wonderful thing. So I'm not surprised when I hear of the Church of Ukraine doing remarkable things in the light of the injustice going on. I'm not surprised when I see on the news the Baptista Church of Poland there with their labels on, helping out, making a real difference. I'm not surprised people of peace, wherever they're from, bring in relief because God can work for anybody. And God calls us, does he not, into the mess of a broken world, like Jesus came into this broken world. We are to do the same thing. We have to take the risk of sacrificing, of stepping beyond our comfort zone, to shine the light and the glory of God. It's not passive, being a Jesus follower. It's active, it's alive. When we gather, it's not a passive experience to sit back, commentate on, and go home again. It's about being involved and engaged because we're worshiping the wonder, the glory, the magnificence of Jesus Christ who died for you, who gave new life for you and a secure eternal future. And then he says, now, do the same as me. Get messy, get dirty, get involved. When I said that word messy, I remembered messy church. To next week, 4:00. It's easy, I think, to wonder and worship on a beach in the Caribbean. I've never been to the Caribbean, but I reckon it is. If you want to send me that, I'm all up for that. And if you want it on an extended level, I can live with that as well. But it's quite a different thing to do it in the situation like Habakkuk is experiencing. But it's far more beautiful because it's worship on the front line. So may we, in this new series on worship, wonder afresh at our Saviour and Lord and his amazing sacrifice, his abundant love, and in the process, be transfigured, changed from the inside out. It's not come from the outside, it's come from in us, because the Holy Spirit is there, and he helps us to shine. May we be wow in our daily worship, in the weeks and months ahead, and changed increasingly into the likeness of Christ. For his name's sake and for his glory. Amen.